This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Watley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Be sure and check out our website, HaystackHelpRadio.com. We have combined our referral list to be right there on our page with our radio show as well. So any of our past shows that you would like to go back and listen to, we've got them there. And we always have our helpline open for you, 303-333-HELP. H-E-L-P, and that actually comes to my cell phone. So I promise you we will get back to you and try to help you in any way we can. Well, a little bit different show than we normally do here on Haystack Help, but I have a great friend that called me and explained to me something that was going on in her area of Colorado, and I said, you know what, let's do a show on this. And so we're going to spend the day talking with a good friend of mine. Her name is Lisa Bennett and her daughter Nicole, and Lisa homeschools their three children and their owns the Wild Skies Cabin Rentals in Northwest Colorado with locations in both Craig and in the Flat Tops. And I've known Lisa for a number of years now, about a dozen actually, and she has an MBA from Kellogg in technology and marketing and an undergraduate degree from Northwestern University in political science with an emphasis on international business and government affairs. So she's here with our daughter today, Nicole, and because her daughter is initiating a proposal to help their community in Northwest Colorado that they would like to talk to us about today. And it's been several years since she's been on the show, but a lot happening in there in her neck of the woods. So Lisa, first of all, welcome to you. How are you?
Thank you so much for hosting me, Scott. We're doing great.
Well, good. And I'll say hello to Nicole as well. So Nicole, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Scott.
It's great to have you on. All right, well, we're going to spend the hour here together, so we'll get to all these different things here. But Lisa, let's first just kind of lay the setting for us here of what's happening there in Northwest Colorado.
Well, the governor has a great goal of trying to go with 100% renewable energy by 2040. It's very commendable that he wants to do it. Unfortunately, it's going to have a devastating effect in the Northwest community of the state. And I'm not just talking about Moffat County. Rout County also has a coal power transmission plant, and they're going to be impacted heavily. A lot of coal miners also work in Rio Blanco County. That whole northwest quarter of the state, which is kind of the wild and free section of the state, is going to have their economy drastically impacted to the tune of perhaps, at least in Moffat County, close to 60 to 70% of the revenues collected, whether that's property taxes, whether that's sales taxes, things like that, are going to be impacted, meaning negatively, by these closures. And we're talking about a direct loss of 800 jobs in a community of about 10,000 people.
Wow.
The governor, because he wants to have these renewables by 2040, has put lots of pressure to get these power plants and mines closed, and the companies that own them, the co-ops or the corporations, have decided that they're going to agree and they're going to get these mines and power plants closed. They think they'll get them all done by 2030, but realistically, they'll probably close sooner, closer to 2025, which, as you know, is only 5 years away.
Sure.
With that loss of those jobs, we're looking at $62 million in income loss with just the 800 jobs affecting Moffat County. I'm not counting the jobs in Rout or Rio Blanco. I'm talking about the ones in Moffat County.
Wow. So, man, and, you know, I know, you know, we were talking and you sent me some things here, and it's something to, when you've got the few jobs that you have there and the population, and then, but the governor's kind enough to offer job training.
Well, you know, a lot of times when you have a closure,
right,
the first thing they say is that they're going to offer training to train people into other jobs. But here's the thing. Those miners love where they live.
Sure.
They could choose to work at a coal mine somewhere else, and a lot of them actually moved from other areas to Moffat County. But as a lot of your listeners probably know, Matsick County has a lot of wonderful natural resources, whether we're talking about the elk herds, whether we're talking about the open BLM land, because over 60% of the county is owned by the government in one way or the other, which means it's not developed. We've got wild horse herds out there. We've got some of the trophy units in the entire state out in our county. We've got Dinosaur National Monument Park out in our county. People move out there because they don't want to be in a big city. They want to have clear skies. They don't want to see skyscrapers in the smog, which often you see down in Denver. And these people don't want to leave. But what a lot of people maybe don't realize is that even with job training, there are no jobs locally. These people would have to move away from the community. And some people might say, well, too bad, that's just change, and those people have to find jobs somewhere else. That's just what they're going to have to do. But even if they do find a job somewhere else, the majority of them are going to end up making at least 13 to 17% less than they do right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, historically, when things like this happen, only about 2 out of 3 workers find another job, and of course it's going to pay less.
Sure.
But when you actually average all the jobs, the coal miner jobs, with, let's say, the secretary or administrative assistant who works in the office who's going to lose her job, or the security guard at the check-in gate, you're really looking at an average of 30% drop in income for about 25% of those workers, because some people might find jobs paying better. Maybe that security guard goes down to Denver and he actually makes more money working down in Denver, so he's not part of the stat of lower wages. But a coal miner is. And I didn't even realize this myself till I started talking to a couple of the coal miners out there. But evidently, a lot of coal miners will work 14-day shifts or 12-hour shifts for 14 days straight, and then they're given 14 days off straight. Now, that's a nice perk. I mean, I realize a lot of people maybe don't want to work 14 days straight. But
no, that's really good. I would do that all day.
Exactly. It'd be nice to have 2 weeks off straight instead of just 2 days on a weekend. But the bonus for them is that they are given unlimited overtime. And what that means is during those 14 days that they're off, if they want to come back and work some of those 14 days at time and a half, they are all eligible to do that, which then means that they have the potential to take a starting job with no college education required at $18 an hour, where they would maybe gross somewhere around $36,000 a year plus benefits, to actually making close to $100,000 a year plus benefits if they did work those 14-hour days straight for the overtime. Now, no one needs to do that, but think about it. You are straight out of high school, no college degree. You're guaranteed $36,000 a year plus health care benefits, including vision and dental, that are 100% company paid for. There's no employee contribution portion on that.
Wow.
And it's kind of like when they were talking about Obamacare and they were talking about the gold plate health care systems, I didn't know they existed, and I was thinking it was probably some CEO at some major corporation that had it. Well, I didn't realize it that these coal miners are the ones that had it. And those gold plate health care plans that the Democrats were trying to sell as only being for the elite, actually for these working class people at the coal mines. And I never realized that before. And they're going to lose those because there's no one else in the world that I know of, at least not in our area of Colorado, mm-hmm. that for those kind of benefits other than mining kind of jobs. So they're going to lose all those benefits. And I don't know any other job that gives you the opportunity to essentially make time and a half on your complete salary by continuing to work if you really need in a crunch to make some extra money to meet some bills or make ends meet. So
sure, sure. Because you look at the health care cost alone. I mean, you know, for self-employed, just myself, I pay like $800 a month just for my plan, and I have a $6,500 deductible. And so, I mean, I don't want to get sick and all that kind of thing or have an injury. But, you know, so I end up paying $800 a month, and, you know, thankfully over the last few years I hadn't had to use it. But, I mean, it's just a lot of money. And then if you do, something does happen, you still got to come up with another $7,000.
Right, right, absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that although the mine jobs start at maybe $18 an hour, within a few years, you're bumped up to $25, all the way up to, you know, $30, $40 an hour you could be making if you're heavy equipment operator, that sort of thing. So potentially, as a coal miner, with no requirement for any kind of degree, you could, with overtime, be making close to $200,000 a year. And I don't know wow. how you replace jobs like that. I mean, these people want to work there. They don't want to work another job. It gives them the flexibility to take 2 whole weeks off every month, if they wanted, to travel with their family, to vacation, to go out and enjoy the outdoors where they live, hunt, fish, whatever it is that their recreational sport of choice is.
Wow, unbelievable. Lisa Bennett is with us, also her daughter Nicole. And Lisa is a friend of mine, and they own Wild Sky Cabin Rentals in Northwest Colorado. Before we get out of this show today, we'll try to give you some information on there. But we're just going to be discussing some things that are going on in Moffitt County, because I tell you, it's hard to know where to go to get the facts. And when you watch, you know, the news, or if you do pick up a newspaper or read something online, is it true? Whose angle is it coming from? And what we're really just trying to do today for you is just lay out some basic facts for you of someone that actually lives there, operates a business there, and knows the people and the population there and all the different things there. So, so you know, boy, that, first of all, you just look at that income that's available, and that's unbelievable.
It absolutely yeah. is. And it's one of those things that the reason why I wanted to bring this up on your show is that most people think of coal miners as poor, uneducated, you know, whatever the old hillbilly kind of West Virginia look is, and that's not who these people are.
Right.
And I want people to understand that these are hardworking people that support their families, that do what they can to make ends meet and have an excellent job that helps them do that. And it's not being taken away because of international trade. It's not like China all of a sudden is producing coal and there's no demand and they're losing their jobs. It's being taken away intentionally because of trying to meet a very commendable goal of 100% renewables in the state. But it's impacting this community adversely, because those 800 jobs that are directly going to be lost in the next few years, they actually support 5 other jobs. Each one coal mine job supports 5 other jobs in the community indirectly. When the Tri-State Power Plant was first proposed to be put out there with the coal mines to support the power plant, they were told in the community that somewhere between 4 and 5 jobs would be created for every 1 job created by the power plant and coal mines. And so if you look at it, lots of small mom-and-pop businesses are also going to be affected.
Sure.
And short of having Wyoming annex us into their state so that the plants and the coal mines can stay open, which would allow Governor Polis to still meet his 100% renewable energy goal in the state, I don't see how these coal miners are going to go anywhere near that salary in any other job, regardless of what kind of training you give them. And most of them at the community meetings I attended emphasized how they want their kids to stay and live there. They don't want to have to move somewhere else and take a pay cut at the same time. They like the standard of living. They like the community. They like what has to be, what's offered out there. And they like the fact that we don't have the traffic and congestion and everything else a lot of other major cities have. And they're going to have to lose that, not of their own choice, not because of economic situations with world trade, but because of the directive from our governor.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what, we got to take a short break. Stay with us, and don't go anywhere. More with Lisa Bennett. Lisa Bennett right after this.
If you're 62 years of age or older and own a home, ask yourself, do I want to stay in my home? Have you built up enough equity? Can my family and I benefit from additional cash? Steve Hurley has been a resident of Colorado for over 32 years and is a senior helping seniors. These are questions he can help answer to see if a reverse mortgage is right for you. Call Steve Hurley at 303-885-0254 from Affordable Interest Mortgage today to schedule your free consultation. It may be the most important call you'll ever make.
David R. Cishon, certified estate planner and registered financial consultant, specializes in working with people who are planning for retirement and retired clients who want to preserve and grow their assets.
Education is the greatest equalizer is my theme. It's always been. More people know, the better their decisions are, the more comfortable they become. So when people come in, we take, some people say, an excessive amount of time learning about the client themselves, who they are, what are their feelings. I don't care how much assets they have. If their assets are important to them, that's critical to me.
Call now for your free consultation with David Cishon of Householder Group, 720-482-1917. That's 720-482-1917. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Householder Group Estate and Retirement Specialist, LLC, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. Glad to have a good friend of mine, Lisa Bennett, on with us today, and her daughter, Nicole. And we'll check in with Nicole here in just a few minutes. But Lisa is the owner of Wild Skies Cabin Rentals in Northwest Colorado. And Lisa, how long have y'all lived there?
Well, my husband's been out in Northwest Colorado for 25 years. I've been out here, probably about 15 of those.
Okay. All right. So you know what's going on. You've got the heartbeat of that community.
We do. We're actively involved in a lot of things out there and trying to do what we can to help them meet their economic distress issues and try and see what we can do to stem the flow of all the income leaving the community.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So when you look at all these jobs, you look at all these different things, displacing people and, I mean, just disrupting lives, losing jobs, losing money, all that. And I know you kind of touched on it just a second. And I said, is there anything you can do to save these? And you go, well, short of having like a Wyoming annex, a nurse state, go ahead with that thought.
Yeah, what I was trying to say there is that it's not that we want to break off from Colorado. That's not the point. The point is that the governor has a very good plan of wanting to be 100% renewable, and I understand why he wants to achieve that. But he's doing that at the cost of devastating these communities in Northwest Colorado. There's no impact to Denver with this initiative, this executive order he has. The impact is all on these rural communities that rely heavily on these jobs. We don't have the diversity of industries in Northwest Colorado that you do in major cities like Boulder and Denver and Colorado Springs. You know, we don't have the military out there. We don't have a major airport. We don't have the infrastructure. There's no major expressway going out that way. We don't have what it takes to even try and lure manufacturing out there because the infrastructure hasn't been developed for it.
Sure.
So as a result, there's very little that we can do. And as I mentioned earlier, 60% of the county is government-owned, where there's no development on that land. That land is to be preserved as open space, so to speak. And although the BLM might have some oil or gas leases, the BLM might be able to open up a little bit more for grazing rights. Grazing rights have pretty much already been given out to existing ranchers. There's really not much else other than to enjoy the pristine panoramic views out there that can be done with 60% of the land in the county. So on top of that, you end up with situations where you can't really diversify with infrastructure within 5 years to get somebody out there. So if someone says, well, we'll come up with the transportation funds and we'll develop a highway out there, it's not going to happen because that takes years and years and years.
No doubt.
These people are going to lose their job within five. So you really need to have shovel-ready projects to help this community, and CRED Colorado is considered an opportunity zone. I'm not sure if people are familiar with what that is, but essentially those that have capital gains tax that they need to reinvest somewhere to avoid paying capital gains, such as you sold your apartment complex or you sold your business, and you're trying to figure out a way to cut back on the taxes you owe on that income that you made, that profit. Craig is an opportunity zone, and if someone invests for 10 years in Craig, at the end of those 10 years, they owe no capital gains on the money that they invested in Craig. So we're looking for people to consider Craig for maybe a service industry that doesn't need huge infrastructure as far as highways, airports, that sort of thing, to relocate. We're also looking at foundations or private individuals that perhaps have grant money or private money that they would like to donate towards causes. And one of those shovel-ready projects that my daughter has been pushing is to make Craig, to focus on the Mustangs that are out there and to make Craig kind of a Mustang capital. So I'll turn that over to my daughter, to Nicole, to explain a little bit more about the Mustangs.
Okay, that'd be great.
We're not going to be talking about the cars, the Wild Horse. There's a reason why Ford chose the Wild Horse as its symbol, because it's a symbol of freedom and power.
Right, right. And so, Nicole, I mean, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
Nine.
Wow. And so you've really got a passion for this, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. And so kind of explain, if best you can, of how you would like to see this work for this.
Well, I think lots of people are very affectionate about the horses, and they like the horses a lot.
Yeah, they sure do, and horses are great animals and beautiful animals for sure.
Picasso is the most famous horse in the world, and he's not anywhere else but in Sandwash Basin.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. So maybe we can just put the word out, folks. Hey, maybe, as Lisa mentioned, you are looking for something to do, maybe... got a lot of money and you're looking to work, well, you could do something to mean something to a community with a museum like we're talking about. I would highly recommend you get in touch with Lisa and maybe talk about just some of the options there, because Lisa, it is hard. I mean, it's not like you can put on some big ad campaign, oh, come to Moffitt County because we've got all this. And because most of the time when we're trying to draw things, we can say, oh, we've got Denver International Airport, you know, we've got C-470, we've got I-70 to the mountains, you've got all this access to everything, and it's just different there.
One of my big goals, though, is to make Craig, Colorado, the Mustang capital of the world.
Well, we're going to see what we can do to help you with that, okay?
And also making it a train adoption center.
Yeah, we're trying to solve a problem that has gotten the BLM behind the eight ball for many years, which is the overpopulation of the horses.
Yes.
The BLM thinks that it's probably going to take at least 15 years and $5 billion, with a B, dollars, just to try and get a handle on the overpopulation issue. What my kids and I have studied is that the big bottleneck, there's two issues to these horses. A lot of people maybe don't realize that wild horses double in population every 4 years. So back in 1971, when the BLM was charged with creating these horse management areas as sanctuaries for these Mustangs, they didn't take into account the fact that they were going to be dealing with population doubling every 4 years. So they created basically land areas, these herd management areas that could handle about 27,000 horses, and they started with 25,000. So you can see how quickly things got out of hand with the doubling of the population. So there's two issues here. One is to try and curtail the breeding. The other issue is to try and get these horses adopted, because currently the BLM has anywhere from 50 to 75,000 horses in captivity. And what that means is they've culled them from the herds in the wild, and they are either located in corrals in places like Oklahoma and Kansas and other states, or they have found private landowners who have agreed for a little bit of reimbursement to have these animals on their open pastures instead of having cattle on those open pastures. So they've been able to put some of those horses out on open land, but the majority of them are still in captivity in corrals, and no one likes that idea. The horses should have better homes, but the point is that no one wants them. The BLM can't find homes for them. The big issue for that is that the horses need to be trained. A lot of people don't want to take the liability or the distress of having to deal with a wild horse.
Right. So, you know, if we could get something like that going there, like you mentioned, a Mustang Museum or something like that. I mean, what do you feel like that would do for your area then, and what would be some of the opportunities then?
Well, it won't rectify the lost income from the coal miners.
Sure.
But it will help diversify the economy. There is no Mustang Museum in the entire country. So if Craig can have the first mover advantage, that would be great. Additionally, my daughter and I have petitioned the local community college, and they have agreed to offer the first ever wild horse train the trainer classes starting in January of 2021. They will have world-renowned wild horse trainers actually teaching the classes. And what we discovered was that on the adoption end, since the horses weren't getting adopted because they were wild, the bottleneck was the fact there weren't enough people training the horses.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of people want to, actually. These wild horse trainers that are going to be teaching this class, Steve Mantle is among them, have indicated that on a monthly basis they get several calls from people who want to intern with them to learn how to do this. But they're not set up as an educational center. They're set up as a business to train these horses. And so having the college pick up this missing link to the horse overpopulation issue will be crucial, because the more people you have trained, the more horses can get trained and the more can get adopted. But we're also going to need corporate help. And I have talked to key BLM personnel, and I've also talked to lots of horse organizations, such as the Mustang program out of Texas. And what they've all told me is that not a single U.S. corporation has stepped up to the plate to help the plight of the wild horses. And I think the main reason is that a lot of corporations look at it as it's the BLM's problem. They're the ones that got themselves into this mess. Let the government solve it.
Right.
And as we know, government is not good at solving problems. They've got great intentions lots of times, like Governor Polis and his 100% renewable goal. That's a great intention, but a lot of times there's unintended consequences which go beyond anything anyone could have foreseen. And that's what the BLM is faced with right now, and that is what Northwest Colorado is faced with right now with the loss of these jobs.
Right.
Government trying to do something that they think is the right thing, and they don't know how to do it right, and it makes things worse.
So what do your, your city, your town board or city officials or other big business leaders there in Moffitt County, I mean, is everybody kind of on the page that you are? Is it 50-50 split? Or?
You know, a lot of times you can't see the forest through the trees.
Yep.
When you see the midst of everything that this community is dealing with, a lot of times you can't see the opportunities that are right before you. So there are a ton of passionate people about these horses. I wouldn't say the passion necessarily comes from the local community. There are definitely some strong, staunch supporters in the community. Absolutely. And the community is willing to try anything. And this is just one way to diversify. The goal would be for the college to partner eventually with CSU or some other university so that these could be four-year college credit classes where kids from across the country that are in ag or ranch management courses could come out and do a rotation in Craig, learn about the wild horses. The hope would be they go back to their communities excited about Northwest Colorado, wanting to have their friends come back and visit to see and support the horses, and perhaps kind of spur economic development through ecotourism or things like that, and to have the first ever National Wild Horse Museum or Mustang Museum in Craig is something that no one else would have. So instead of going to a horse management area in Nevada or Wyoming or any other state where they're located, they would want to go to Craig.
Right.
And they go to Craig, they can head to the museum and see the horses. And maybe they can actually go get a horse if they want one.
Sure, absolutely. If you're just joining us, Lisa Bennett is with us, also her daughter, Nicole. And Lisa's a friend of mine. They live in Northwest Colorado. She owns Wild Skies Cabin Rentals and is really taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, and is really trying to address a lot of different issues there. And you know, Lisa, that's what it takes. And I tell you, so many of us, and I'll say us including me, you know, just don't take the time to get involved in different things, and before you know it, we have lost so much in our rights, you know, and in our communities and all the different things. And it's really going to take a lot of people like yourself in Moffitt County to get involved with this and come on board with this, because it's going to take a lot of money and connecting with the right people to do some changes here, isn't it?
It absolutely is, but I don't think this problem is insurmountable. About 4 million horses get purchased in the United States annually, and if we look at where we are with overpopulation, we've got anywhere between 50 to 75,000 horses in corrals right now that need to find homes, and we've got about the same amount, about 80 to 90,000 horses that are overpopulated on the range that need to come off the range and find homes. So if you add those two numbers up, maximum you're looking at 160,000 horses, but 4 million get purchased in the United States every year. That's a small fraction of the total number of horses purchased.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get these horses marketable, which means domesticated or trained, however you wanted to look at it, so that people will choose these horses. And I've spoken to Border Patrol. Border Patrol actually, this is, you know, along the Texas-Arizona border with Mexico, prefers Mustangs because they're better suited for the terrain that they're patrolling in. So Border Patrol has a great need for those horses. There's lots of great organizations like Freedom Hooves and other groups across the country that do a lot with post-traumatic stress and emotional health with people, sometimes with veterans,
right,
where these wild horses come into play. What a lot of people may not realize is the trauma that the wild horse goes through leaving the open range to go to a corral is very similar to the post-traumatic stress syndrome that a lot of our veterans are suffering through when they come back from the war. And there are people like Brian Hogan out of Oklahoma that are teaching intelligence, emotional intelligence classes to executives with the wild horses as the backdrop for this training, to explain how management-level personnel can better deal with their employees that might be suffering from post-traumatic stress or even just anger management issues.
Absolutely, absolutely. Lisa Bennett is our guest. We got to take another short break. When we come back, we're going to touch on a little bit here about the ranching and hunting side of this in Moffitt County. We'll be right back.
Hi, Jack Corgan. Shopping for a new car can be a harrowing experience unless you use my favorite car dealer, Len Lyles Chevrolet, just east of I-225 on Colfax, 15 minutes from anywhere. I've worked with them for more than 12 years, and I promise you, Len Lyles is not your typical car dealership. Check out their excellent reviews on Google. They are respectful of your time, not high pressure, and have very progressive pricing, because low overhead really does mean lower prices. Len Lyles Chevrolet, go east and pay the least.
Chevy. Find new roads.
Got a road trip planned for getting ready for your next outdoor adventure? Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at D&D Tire Service. At D&D Tire Service in Parker and Aurora, they understand automotive issues can be a headache, and they never come at a convenient time. D&D Tire Service is family-owned and operated and is truly your one-stop shop for all of your automotive needs. All tires are reduced, and for a limited time, there are some great rebates saving you up to $200. From belts to tires, wiper blades, oil changes, D&D Tire Service has you covered. For the location nearest you, call 303-699-7337. That's 303-699-7337. D&D Tire Service is the official auto repair shop of Sportsman of Colorado Radio. Let D&D Tire Service keep you and your family safe on the roads. DndTireservice.com.
The hard part of my job is getting the case ready for trial. The really fun part of my job is going to trial.
Call the personal injury attorney who enjoys going to trial, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
The thing that people need to do when they're talking with lawyers about trials, ask the lawyer that they're talking to whether they like to go to trial or not.
Although most personal injury cases settle outside of the courtroom, you want an attorney who stands ready to represent you at trial.
The reason that we say trial tested, trial ready, is because we do enough cases that we are always ready. And it's like anything else, you ride a bike or, you know, you shoot trap. If you do it often, you're still in good regular practice on it. If you do it once a year, not so much.
Trial tested, trial ready. KLZ's personal injury attorney, Kevin Flesh. Call today for a free, no-obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
Have you been considering an RV, or are you looking for a place that will help you keep your RV in top condition? Let me tell you about my friends at Cousins RV. They've got three convenient locations to serve you in Loveland, Wheat Ridge, and Colorado Springs, which includes full parts and service departments at all three locations. Cousins RV is locally owned and operated by Jim Humble and Drew Bryant with over 40 years in the RV industry. Cousins RV offers the top manufacturers in the industry, and they have a huge selection of pre-owned RVs at every price point. Service is key at Cousins RV, and they can handle any repair, even offering a mobile RV service. Hey, we all know accidents can happen, and at Cousins RV, they have their own collision center with a paint booth to fit the largest of RVs. Come to the place that has the best Google reviews from any RV dealer in Colorado and ranks number one in customer satisfaction. Owners Jim and Drew are on site daily. Be sure and let them know you heard about them here on Haystack Help Radio.
Denver's Afternoon Rush. Rush to Reason is coming up at 3. Now, back to Haystack Help Radio.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. Lisa Bennett is with us. Lisa's a friend of mine, and they live in Northwest Colorado there, and owners of Wild Skies Cabin Rentals. And her daughter, Nicole, also is joining us as well. So, Lisa, let's talk about the ranching and hunting side of this. Needless to say, where you live is home to the best trophy elk herds in the state, and a lot of mule deer as well, and sheep and cattle operations are all up there. So, boy, this has got to have a big effect on everything, doesn't it?
It sure does, because there's another initiative on the way as well in Colorado, and that is in November on our ballot. There will be a question about reintroducing the wolf to Colorado. And that's going to definitely have an impact on the ranching and hunting operations, mostly in Northwest Colorado to start, but throughout the state where they reintroduce the wolf. Because as we know, or maybe you don't, wolves actually can have a range of up to 55 miles for where they hunt. In one day, they can cover 29 miles if they're hunting. And wow. So this is not going to be a containment issue. These wolves are going to end up all over. And, of course, we've got the history behind it with what's happening in Idaho and Oregon and Wyoming and Montana and other states that have the wolf. And the wolf is a gracious, beautiful animal. I am not necessarily opposed to any animal out there, but here's the situation. We are being just economically devastated in Northwest Colorado right now with this green initiative, closing the coal mines and the power plant. And the only thing left for jobs out there is going to be ranching and hunting. You take that away with the reintroduction of the wolf, or maybe not take it away, but hammer it with wolves being out there and bringing the herd numbers down and less licenses being available, you're really hurting this community that relies a lot on that income. I remember going for a loan for a building we were going to purchase, and the banker that I dealt with actually said to me, yeah, we don't lend money for ranch operations anymore because the margins are too thin. Margins are estimated to only be about 1% to 2% in ranching.
Mm-hmm.
That is extremely low. So anything that impacts their bottom line, it may not seem like much compared to their overall operations, but incrementally it all adds up and eats away at those thin margins they have. That's why a lot of ranchers lease their land to outfitters, or they get into the outfitting business themselves. They have
sure.
to supplement their ranch operations with other jobs, essentially.
Absolutely. So, I mean, do you see the ranching industry, you know, being able to expand there in Moffitt County? I mean, you know, like you said, there's a lot of open land out there.
Yeah, you know, the livestock industry in Colorado actually contributes about $4.2 billion a year into the economy in Colorado. But overall, for Colorado, it's not a huge impact on the state. But you will have a problem trying to expand ranching, not only because you can't get the loans out there, but as I mentioned before, 60% of the land is government-owned out there. The rest of the land, I think 10 to 20% of the land is actually owned by the coal mine and the power plant that's private. So you're only looking at about another 20-25% of the land out there is private, privately owned outside of the coal mine, power plant, and government. So there's not much land to expand on, and although the BLM does offer grazing rights on their land, they don't allow anything else, and those grazing rights have already been given to the existing ranchers that are out there. So there really isn't a way to expand the ranching industry, and if you reintroduce the wolf, you're really going to hurt the hunting, which is the only thing that's currently left out there.
Sure. And, you know, you've already got, you know, with the bears, mountain lions, coyotes, all of that. There's already bad news out there, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, they did some studies up in Idaho, and they said that pre-wolf, there was about 1% to 2% predation loss. That means whether it's a bear or a mountain lion or whatever wild animal attacked your livestock, about 1% to 2% was lost to that. After the wolf were introduced, it went up to about 5%. And although people might say, well, that doesn't seem that bad, 5%, once again, go back to the fact that margins are razor thin. You're looking at a 1% to 2% margin. You start losing 5% of your livestock, you're in trouble. You know, and you always have people talking about how, well, you'll be reimbursed. There's a fund that'll reimburse you. Well, in Idaho in particular, if it's a bad predation year where the wolves are determined to have killed livestock, there's a set fund. It's not an unlimited fund. There's X number of dollars that go towards reimbursement for your lost livestock, which means that potentially there could be some years where ranchers are only reimbursed 50% of what they're supposed to be reimbursed. So they're not really getting fully reimbursed. But then what a lot of other people don't realize is that you have to have a dead body, meaning that if you lose your livestock but you can't find its carcass, and when you do find its carcass, it can't be determined that a wolf killed it, because sometimes a wolf will kill a calf or a cow, but they won't eat the carcass or they won't eat the whole thing, and then a bear or a coyote or some mountain lion or other animal comes in to finish it off. There's no way to prove that a wolf did it, and you won't get reimbursed. But the hardest thing is there's a lot of really heavily wooded areas, some just north of Craig, some south in the flat tops, that you would have a hard time finding your animal, even if there was a body to be found, because it's so densely wooded out that way.
Sure.
And so it's hard to prove that the wolf did it. You only get reimbursed if the wolf did it. And in Idaho, which I don't know how they're going to do it in Colorado, and the Colorado Department of Wild Parks and Wildlife doesn't have any funding for this, so I don't know where the money's going to come from to even do reimbursement. But in Idaho and in parts of Oregon, when they initially set up the fund, you could only get reimbursed if you were in a wolf population area. So the Division of Wildlife up there had to determine which counties were considered wolf counties. And if you lived in one that was within that 55-mile range of where wolves hunt, but it wasn't declared a county that was a wolf population county, it doesn't matter if they could say, yes, the wolf took your animal, you wouldn't get reimbursement because you weren't in the right county. So that's happened to ranchers as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I didn't know before in doing research and talking to ranchers and outfitters. A lot of times your cow will be completely intact, meaning that you cannot find any signs of outward trauma, meaning no ripped skin or flesh or blood or bleeding.
Right.
Your cow is dead on the ground. You assume that maybe it caught some disease or something else did it off internally. You have to have the cow actually skinned. Once you skin it and peel back that thick hide, you can determine underneath through wolf bite marks and bruising marks that are underneath that hide that a wolf actually took down that animal. What that wolf was doing, and this happens a lot, I heard in August, the wolf might be training other younger wolves on how to hunt. That cow will get bit and nipped at, It won't break the flesh on the outside through the hide, but inside it's turning their muscle into hamburger, causing internal damage to their organs, and essentially being chased to exhaustion, and the animal dies. But the animal is not eaten. It's just left there. And so it's not clear that a wolf did it till they skin the animal. So there are all sorts of different issues going on with the wolves don't always hunt just for food. And I've had lots of outfitters and ranchers say they've seen a dozen elk, not just livestock, have been victimized but not eaten. And so there's a lot going on with the wolves, and these ranchers just can't. I mean, it's a lot of extra time and money and heartache and headache to deal with the paperwork, the loss of the animal. I mean, you've got so much to do as a rancher already.
Sure.
That to have to take the time to track down your animal and call the Division of Wildlife and then go out with the Division of Wildlife to your carcass. And then wait for results and fill out reimbursement paperwork and get reimbursed months later. I mean,
yeah, like you got time for all
that. Yeah, you don't get paid for that. And that's a lot of hassle. And ranchers have better things to do. I mean, they're already working on razor thin margins, as I've said. So all I could say is that please, when it comes to the ballot initiative, understand that it's going to have a dramatically detrimental effect to Northwest Colorado, which is already reeling from the loss of these coal mine jobs and the power plant jobs. Something's got to be done. The wolves are already there. They've already located wolf packs there. They will naturally come into the area. We don't need the Division of Wildlife, Parks and Wildlife, having to spend millions more to reintroduce them and to monitor them. Let nature take its course up that way, but at the same time realize that the ranchers are going to need help as well.
Absolutely. Lisa Bennett is our guest. If you're just getting in the car, turn on the radio, and we were talking about Moffitt County in Colorado, and Lisa is the owner and operator of Wild Skies Cabin Rentals there. And, you know, when you just look at all this and the cost of just, man, everything even going right in what, you know, a rancher does, like you say, there's not much profit there. And you take all these different things, you know, with the job losses, the wolf, I mean, all this that's going to hurt ranching and hunting and all of that. I mean, it can paint a pretty bleak picture, can't it?
It certainly does. And that's what I'm concerned with, is that this community is going to end up looking like a ghost town, like the old mining towns of 150 years ago. We just don't want that to happen. We want Moffitt County to have the ability to determine its own future, not have external events like people on the Front Range voting for wolf introduction that has more of an effect on Northwest Colorado than it does in the Front Range area, like Governor Polis saying, hey, we're going to go renewable, and then it closes all the businesses out there with the coal mines and the coal plant. It's almost like we have no say in the future of our economic development out there.
Sure. And I tell you, a page that we like, if you want some more information on wolves, go to Rethink Wolves, and that's on Facebook, or you can go to rethinkwolves.com. And Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation is involved in this one as well. And we're going to try to keep you as up to date as we can on all of this. But as Lisa has clearly stated and rightly stated, this is something we do not need in our state. So I hope you will educate yourself on that. And don't just believe all the different things the other side does. And, hey, we can show you the facts right there on that Rethink Wolf. So take a look at that, and we will keep you up to date on that. Tell you what, we're going to take our last break, Lisa. So hang with me just a couple of minutes, and we'll come back and wrap up. We'll be right back.
Rates continue to drop. Have you taken advantage, or are you still waiting? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where all of our loans come with lower fees and low rates. You deserve it. Call 720-895-0500, where we have been serving Colorado since 2001. We are locally owned and operated. We know Colorado, and we know how to help. Have you tried to get a loan and been treated just like another number? Transferred from one person to another? Vague answers? Feel like no one is listening? Take AIM, where what you want matters. Respect and straight answers. And all with the same person from start to finish. Call 720-895-0500. We're the home of one of the fastest growing loans in Colorado, the Asset Manager. More Coloradans are switching to this loan than any other. Why? It allows you to pay thousands less in interest, have lower payments, access your equity for 30 years, and own your home in half the time. Find out why it could work for you. Affordable interest mortgage. Call 720-895-0500 now and keep more of your money. NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA, equal credit lender.
Stack Optical has been providing the most comprehensive quality eye and vision care for over 50 years. Stack Optical is a family-owned business, and they're proud to be one of the few optical offices that have their own on-site eyeglass production and eyeglass repair studio. Your one-stop shop for all of your vision needs, eye exams, glasses, and contacts. And don't forget about the Stack Sports Pack. Let owner and certified optician Alan Stack customize a pair of specialized glasses that will make your next outing on the golf course or on the gun range better than ever before. Call today for your $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578. Or check them out at stackoptical.com.
Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers KLZ listeners complete pet care services every day, all at one location. It's so much more than a clinic and so convenient. Their expert staff is always happy to help your pet have the happy and healthy life it deserves. Schedule a medical checkup for your beloved companion or take the first step toward a better behaved buddy by signing your pup up for obedience training. Did you know that if your sweet kitty needs grooming, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center is one of the few facilities that offers grooming for both dogs and cats. And if you're planning a vacation, Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center offers boarding for dogs, cats, and other small pets so you can take your vacation without worry, knowing that your four-legged family member's home away from home has a fully equipped medical center on site. Learn more about Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center at LoneTreeVet.com or call 303-708-8050.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio. My name is Scott Watley. Lisa Bennett is with us here for a few more minutes, and her daughter, Nicole. And I want to thank you guys so much for being with us today and bringing this kind of to our attention, because you know what, Lisa, a lot of things get lost when you're in just different areas of the state, and you know, we really don't even know what's going on in Moffitt County. So I think this brings a lot of great facts to our listening audience. And if you would like more information, or if people want to get in touch with you, Lisa, to learn more, or maybe we've got a business out there, or someone that wants to try to help do some things with this Mustang Museum, what's the best way for them to contact you?
Best way would be Lisa at wildskies.com, WILDSKIES.com, or they can call me at 970-926-0216.
Great. All right. We got about 5 minutes here. Anything else on this particular topic that you want to get out? And then I'd like to talk about your Wild Skies Cabin Rentals there a little bit. But anything else you'd like to get out about this?
Yeah. I think it would be the unforeseen losses. So we talked about how you've got dead livestock, which potentially could be reimbursable at some rate. But the other thing is that Oregon State University did some research studies where they had a radio collar on one wolf out of a 12-pack wolf, and there were three different packs in this area. So only one wolf out of one of the three packs got collared, and they collared 10 of their cattle out of a herd of 450. And they were tracking the interactions. And what they were able to discover is that over a summer, that one wolf had over 783 interactions with the cattle, which meant they were within 50 yards of that cattle. And a lot of these cattle graze on federal land, and when you graze, you've got to bend your head down to the grass. When you've got a predator around, you're not eating. So one of the unintended consequences for these ranchers were that their cows were not eating. They were stressed. They were watching for predators. They were going to higher ground where the pasture wasn't as good, so up on a hillside so they'd have a better viewpoint of where these wolves were down in the meadows and pastures. And so not only were they losing weight, but those ranchers were then having to buy hay and feed them in the fall to try and get their weight up, because that's how ranchers make their money. They sell their cattle based on the per pound, or their sheep, whatever their livestock might be, And so they were losing money with that. Not only that, with the cattle being stressed, their pregnancy rates drop. And there's only one calf born every year from that cow, which means that if that cow didn't get pregnant, you're feeding that cow all winter again and hoping that next summer she gets pregnant. So when they were seeing fertility rates drop from 95% plus to as low as 80, that's a huge loss and a huge economic drain on that rancher who's counting on those new calves for their next crop of cows for the following year. So that's one issue. The other issue is that a lot of people may not realize that those herding dogs, if we go to Meeker and we see the sheepdog competitions and we see how fantastic they do with herding sheep and cows,
right,
those herding dogs can cost $5,000 or more. When wolves have been harassing cows, cows assume that those herding dogs are the same as wolves. They see them as predators. And instead of being able to get herded by those dogs, they turn on those dogs and try to trample and kill and scare them away. So no longer can the rancher rely on his dogs to herd in his cows from the mountain ranges. Mm-hmm. He's got to now hire extra ranch hands at anywhere from $100 to $150 a day to go in. So he's working extra long hours, hiring extra employees to herd in his cows, and his dog, who's worth more than $5,000, is just sitting idly on the sidelines because he does no good with these cows who have been stressed by wolves.
Wow. I tell you, there's so much to cover in this, isn't there? I mean, it's just from the job loss to the ranching side, the hunting side, and taking care of our animals. I mean, it's just everything. It's just insane. And, boy, I tell you, like I said, the picture looks bleak, but you know what? It takes people like you and Nicole that are willing to put some research in, get the facts, study this, and then reach out for help. And listeners, hey, you've got some thoughts, give Lisa a call, 970-926-0216, or you can send her an email at lisa@wildskies.com. So, Lisa, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll get in touch with you here in a little bit, and we will get you on and do another segment with you for our Sportsman of Colorado show to talk about your Wild Skies cabin rentals and the hunting opportunities you have there as well.
Fantastic. I'd love to do that. And for those front rangers thinking that this wolf idea is a good one, just consider that if those ranchers can't stay in business, they usually get those ranches get sold to wealthy out-of-staters who then make their ranches private and don't allow access to the public. You know, right now a lot of those ranchers are in part of ranching for wildlife programs, et cetera,
right,
that allow you to come out to hunt and fish. That'll be gone. You know, your opportunities to enjoy those lands will be gone with this decision. And so I certainly hope that they become educated and help stop the hemorrhaging of what's going on in the economy out in Northwest Colorado.
Sure. Well, and Nicole, thank you for being with us, okay?
You're welcome.
Okay. All right. And we're going to try to help you get that Mustang Museum, okay?
Thank you so much, Scott.
All right, Lisa. Thank you guys, too. And thank you for joining us today for Haystack Help Radio. Hope you have a great rest of your day, but don't go anywhere. Leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.